big fan of your work previously and up until the past year. I love everything you've been putting out the past few years. Congrats on it and all the buzz upon its release.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to hear that you're excited about it.
No, it's a great film. Great job. Something change of pace. I went in completely blind. Didn't even look at the press kit materials. I just went in blind.
Nice.
But I just want to get started with talking about the script, just because I'm a writer myself. How did this script land in front of you? Because I know it, correct me if I'm wrong, it's written by somebody else.
Yeah, it's written by Jack Stanley, who is, he's a writer that I had read some of his stuff before, and always really liked what I'd read. And you know, these Blumhouse films, they get made, you know, there's a sort of a specific scope and sort of production model that they follow for the streaming movies. And so, you know, you sort of have to find scripts that work within that production model. And we had talked, you know, I had done Midnight Kiss with them for Into the Dark, and we had talked about doing something else again and just couldn't find the right thing. And I was kind of like, you know, would you be open if I went out and found a script that sort of worked, you know, within that, your model? And so I called up Jack's manager and was like, does he have anything that might fit that we could do, you know, at this level? And he pulled it out of a drawer, and it was an old script. It was one of the first, if not the first one, that he ever kind of finished professionally, and dusted it off. And even though it wasn't quite the exact, you know, format or, you know, sort of straight up horror thing that Blumhouse normally does, everyone was really excited to kind of explore something, you know, that was the same but different, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. I had a question about Blumhouse for later, but since we're talking about them right now, just kind of just generic, this is your second outing with that company. What's it like working under that model and whatnot?
I mean, it's kind of great because they're genre fans, you know, like I am, like the, you know, the audience for the movies. So, you know, there's a real kind of enthusiasm for the, you know, the types of stories that I like to tell. And I mean, of course, on this one, like, you know, on Midnight Kiss, all came together really quickly and sort of last minute. And it was a crazy situation. And so coming back to do this one, it was kind of nice to like have a shorthand with them and have a sort of a really great established way of communicating and just kind of understanding that we were all on the same page from the beginning. That's really valuable. But they're incredibly supportive. I mean, you know, they, you know, weren't trying to make it into something that it wasn't, which I really appreciated. I mean, that was a conversation that came up early and often, like, okay, like, let's, you know, this is not a straight up horror movie. Like, we're not going to try to turn it into one, right? And you know, everyone was very much on board with embracing the, you know, what we all fell in love with about the script.
Yeah, definitely. So just in watching the movie, the dialogue between these two characters struck me as there was a lot being said between the lines. I mean, that's just my perspective. But as the director and you approaching this material, what messages and themes did you want to bring to the surface of the story without giving anything away, of course?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when I read the script the first time, what I fell in love with was the kind of messed up relationship that develops between these two guys. And, you know, I found myself 3/4 of the way through the script, like, not rooting for Benson, but kind of like, I found myself like, I really liked this guy and I wanted him to be okay. And I want, even though he's done at that point horrible things, like, I thought that was really interesting, that, you know, someone who has done something so awful can still do something so incredibly kind of beautiful and thoughtful for, you know, like what he does for Randy. Like, there's kind of a, you know, it's not often that you get portrayals of, you know, quote unquote bad guys that are as sort of nuanced and intimate as Benson is in this project, I think. And that was super interesting from the beginning. You know, there's a lot of talking back and forth between them. And so we spent a lot of time talking about, like, you know, what's not being said, what are the silences saying, like, what needs to be said and what doesn't need to be said. That was sort of a constant conversation we were having.
Nice. You have a character that does such kind of a heinous act in this movie. I won't say what it is. You kind of touched on it a little bit right there with your past answer about it, with a character who does something so violent. But yet there's a little bit of maybe an attempt to get some empathy from the audience. Do you like kind of creating almost villainous characters like that?
I mean, I think that what was so interesting for me about Benson is that he, you know, he does something horrible and, you know, there's no denying that that is horrible, but it doesn't mean that he is irredeemable. And it doesn't mean that, you know, he is sort of a one note bad guy. Like, I think that he, you know, he does what he does for reasons that, you know, that we're not privy to as an audience necessarily, but it's kind of raises the question that, you know, is someone always defined by one horrific act, or, you know, is he more than that? And that was like an interesting thing to explore. I mean, of course, you know, as a filmmaker and as a storyteller, I was wanting to have the audience fall for Benson the same way I did when I read the script, and sort of, you know, move him past the bad guy trope, you know, and sort of present him in a way that you know, in the relationship, the friendship, in a way that kind of makes you ask, like, well, I don't, like, how would I react? Like, what, you know, and how could something kind of sweet and good come out of something so horrible?
Yeah. Your two leads, the actors, Kyle and Johnny, so much chemistry. It felt like the performances helped put the film on its own two feet at times. Talk about directing these two guys in the role. Anything more you can say that you may have already touched on?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle and Johnny are great. I mean, both of them were just, you know, above and beyond, like, perfection for those parts. You know, I think that, like, a big part of why the film works as well as it does, hopefully, is just, you know, in casting. Like, Kyle is incredibly, both of them really are so strong. And, you know, knowing that both of them, you know, the majority of the scenes are just the two of them, often in a car, you know, it really is about the words and what's said and what's not said. And so, you know, and because it was really the two of them that were on screen together almost the whole time, you know, we actually had a lot of time to plot out the different, you know, the sort of the course of their relationship and how it kind of unfolds. And we could look at all of it together and say, okay, you know, this is, you know, the same way that, you know, where we talked about shooting the film, like, you know, the camera is in the backseat up to this point because we don't really know what Benson's thinking. And then, you know, the camera moves to the front seat as we get more into it. Like, it's sort of as a relationship piece, we sort of broke it down and kind of mapped it out in a really fun way.
Cool. So there's a subgenre that I don't know if a lot of people know about, me being what I'd like to say a cinephile. I feel like I figured out, I know about it. Hangout movies where you literally are just, there's obviously a plot going on throughout the film, but you're kind of hanging out with these characters. I kind of got that vibe from The Passenger. You're just kind of with them for a while. Yeah. So, like, is that kind of what you were going for? You just, like, despite the violent acts in the beginning of the movie and woven throughout it, did you just want to have the audience hang out with these guys for 90 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a, you know, it's a road trip movie. It's like a coming of age hostage road trip movie, you know, and I liked the idea that there were moments that were a little boring and a little bit, you know, like it, when they're traveling together and it kind of, like, you run out of things to talk about, and then, you know, it kind of takes turns that are unexpected, but that, you know, it's not the type of film where everything had to be, like, you know, major turn, like, big confrontation. Like, there was a certain sense of, you know, riding around in the car for 12 hours and kind of getting to know someone in the process and all of their shit and baggage and, you know, everything that they carry around with them. That was always super exciting.
Yeah. You did mention it's a coming of age hostage road trip, which when I saw that on the press kit, I thought it was really interesting. I completely get that, but just for the audience, I understand the road trip side of it. That's probably a hostage road trip, but for the audience and the listeners, the readers of this coming of age, how does that play into it?
Well, I think that, like, you know, at the heart of Benson and Randy's relationship, you know, both of, like, Benson kind of helps Randy deal with some stuff that he would not be dealing with if he was on his own and if he wasn't sort of forced into this sort of pressure cooker with Benson. And so, like, and I think that, you know, it's a lot of stuff that he's been hanging on to since he was a kid, and, you know, the stuff that you avoid and that kind of shapes who you are without you realizing it. And if you let it go long enough, it kind of calcifies and becomes part of you. And I think that was something that was always interesting about Benson and Randy, was that Benson wasn't content to let Randy just be as he was. He was like, no, I want to shine a light on this, and I want to force you to do some things that make you uncomfortable. And I think that's, you know, an element of, you know, sort of coming of age stories that I've always really loved, is that sort of, you know, it's less sort of kind of wistful and thoughtful and more confrontational in a way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So in closing, what do you want audience to take away from a film like this when they see it?
Hopefully I want them to, you know, sort of be caught up in this friendship and this idea that, you know, someone doing something bad doesn't make them, you know, negate them as a person. It's sort of, you know, it's okay to find the good in people that have not always done good things. And I think that it's interesting to watch Benson try so hard to be good for Randy, and to see what they each kind of take from the relationship. I think that, you know, the sort of ill-fated road trip that they go on, like, if what happens at the beginning of the film hadn't happened, they probably would have ended up being great friends. And, like, you know, that you know, it has a certain sort of star-crossed, you know, tragic thing to it that I kind of love. But I mean, I hope that they just fall in love with Randy and Benson and their friendship.
Yeah. That definitely has a very thrilling third act that takes a really interesting shift that I enjoyed a lot.
Good.
Well, Carter, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today about The Passenger. Good luck with everything down the road with this film and whatever else comes next.